Good morning. It is Tuesday, August the 20th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. I know what you're thinking. Same as me, it's Tuesday. And we all know what that means. We don't even have to say it anymore, do we? I had a great little story I wanted to share with you as we enter into this today. It was from my dear friend Nolan and Susanna Donald. And I'm going to say more about a way I want us to be praying for them after we do our entry today. But Nolan was listening to this a week or so ago, the wake-up call, and his 10-year-old son, Ezra. They've got three children. Ezra's the 10-year-old. He was listening to it with Nolan, and Nolan said when the wake-up call ended, Ezra said, "I feel awake now. Is that what's supposed to happen?" I thought, how good is that? Nolan said, "Yeah, it's kind of like you're getting awakened on the inside." And I thought, that's a perfect description. Ezra, you are awake. He said, "I feel awake now. Is that what's supposed to happen?" Yes, friends, that's what's supposed to happen. That's why we're doing this every day. We have to wake up our bodies. We have to get out of bed. We have to go through all that every single day. Same thing with our souls, with our inmost being. That's why we do the wake-up call. And that's why I'm hoping you're sharing it with friends as we're getting geared up to start a brand new series in Exodus. So that's a long way to get going today, but I thought you'd be encouraged like me. Well, let's begin this waking up process today with our prayer of consecration. You ready? Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry is entitled On Everyday Supernatural Discipleship for Everyday People. In our text, we're in the last chapter here of the recorded Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 28, verses 7 through 10. You remember the shipwreck is wrecked and they've washed up on the shore of the island called Malta, and all kinds of crazy things are happening. It gets better even today. Hear now the word of the Lord. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. It's like deja vu. Check this out from Mark chapter 1. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. See the similarities between these accounts? It brings yet more confirmation to the fulfillment of Jesus' promise when he said to his disciples, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." That's John 14:12. Whenever Jesus inserts a "very" and a "truly" before he says something else, he really, really means what he's about to say. It means go back and read it again and once more for good measure. "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." So, thinking about today's story and this remembrance of Jesus' words, we must remind ourselves of the following. Number one, the Holy Spirit has not changed. Number two, human sickness has not changed. Number three, demon possession and oppression have not changed. So, what has changed? The way we make disciples has changed. So, I'll ask you, through the course of your discipleship as a follower of Jesus Christ, did you receive equipping in the ministry of healing? Did anyone teach you how to pray for the sick and lay hands on them? Were you ever equipped to deal with evil manifesting through demonic activity? I'll go first. No! None of this even remotely entered into the purview of my discipleship until I went to seminary, and hardly then. Most of the discipleship I've ever witnessed could be boiled down to Bible studies and the busyness required to keep the machinery of the church going. No one ever really discipled me in the normal, everyday reality and work of the person of the Holy Spirit. Whenever and wherever the church has grown in apostolic fashion, the supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit has been the norm rather than the exception. I dare say the corollary is also true. Wherever and whenever the church has stagnated and atrophied, the supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit was the exception rather than the norm. Whole towns don't show up at the door because of our latest sermon series or our cozy fall festivals with awesome chili and massive inflatables everywhere. Good and fun as those are, they're not doing the trick. Whole towns show up because the kingdom of heaven is breaking in on earth through bright and visible signs of the eradication of the kingdom of darkness. As we near the end of the Acts of the Apostles, I'm finally realizing why they didn't title the book "The Acts of the Holy Spirit" as I earlier thought they should. It's because the Holy Spirit does not typically act without apostles or prophets or teachers or evangelists or pastors, or preachers, or youth volunteers, or ushers, or singers, or dancers, or artists, or business people, or entrepreneurs, or carpenters, or stay-at-home mothers, or school teachers, or football coaches, or truck drivers, or farmers, or Walmart people, or otherwise ordinary people like you and me. If you've been with me for any period of time, you know I tend to be honest, but I don't typically rant. Admittedly, today's entry may feel a little rantish, but, all caps, we are in Acts 28. It's almost over, and yet it cannot end. We've got to get on to Acts 29 and 30 and 4,253,335. The central premise and point of this whole thing has been to say this one thing: making disciples of Jesus Christ cannot, will not, must not be attempted without everyday ordinary people receiving orthodox training in the everyday supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit. There, I said it. We're going to put some links in today's entry seedbed. From the very start, we have worked to develop a number of resources for the local church that do just this thing. I'm going to be linking some of them in the entry in the email today. Check it out. Let's pray together our prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. And of course, you are the secret to me becoming like you. And it is not as I try harder to be better. It happens as I surrender my very self to you, my whole life to you, and you come into me. So to that end, Jesus, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love, Jesus, and release my self-interestedness. Yes, Lord, I receive your ability, your supernatural ability, and I release my inability or my incapacity. Yeah. Come, Holy Spirit. Transform my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength, that I might become the very love of God in this world. That my consecration would become your demonstration. And that our lives would become your sanctuary for the glory of God, our Father. Amen. The journal prompts today: did your discipleship journey include training in the everyday supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit? Are you ready to get that going? It's not too late. In fact, it may be right on time. Well, in a minute, as we close, we're going to sing one of the great hymns of the church. It's called Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. It's number 3. I love in this hymn, it says, ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with his love doth befriend thee. This is one of this hymn will come, it comes to us from 1680. Okay, this is an old one. And this is one we need to get into our bones. There's so much going on in this hymn, you'll see when we sing it. I know some of you out there are like, you know, I'm just not really into singing hymns. I'm like, guys, this is not optional, okay? I mean, we let you go. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. But this is not just for people who grew up with hymns. Guys, the church grew up with hymns. Hymns are a staple food item of the church. They are essential nutrition. If we are not singing them, we are starving ourselves. Guys, spiritual songs, the kind that have taken over the church, they're good. We love them. But I'm just telling you, they're like the chips so often at the Mexican restaurant. They're the chips and queso. They're wonderful. We love them. But it's so easy just to get chipful and think, well, I just like singing those songs because, you know, they touch some feeling in me. They touch some emotion in me. That's great. We love that. You got to have the steak. You got to have the fajitas. You don't want to get chip full. Sing some of those songs, but guys, we got to recover hymns. The whole point, the whole purpose here, we're trying to strengthen the core nerve, the muscle of the church. That's why we're singing. It's not nostalgia. Please, it's not nostalgia. Okay, I know. Maybe I'm coming on too strong, but I feel it, guys. You felt that when I said that. Well, I'm also getting ready to launch us into just a bold prayer effort. We're going to start praying for Susanna Donald. She's a mother of three young children. She's married to Nolan. Nolan's a pastor. I've been long friends with Nolan. Met him when I became dean of chapel at Asbury Seminary and kind of became a mentor to him over the years. He's a pastor down in Opelika, Alabama. Well, Susanna's got cancer and is trying to get her. And we're about to launch up. I was talking to her the other day, and you know, there's all the time you hear about drug trials. Like you want to get in the drug trial. You want to get in something new, something they're trying that has never been tried before that they believe could work. I said, what if the Lord is calling us to launch a prayer trial? I don't know what it looks like fully, but I sense the Lord's going to give us the shape of it. And I'm going to call Wake Up Call Nation to jump in with us on it. We got to do some battle here, a prayer trial. He says, greater things will you do than I did. Greater things will you do than these. These things I'm doing, you're going to do them too, he says. It's time we step up into that. We just go for it. Even if we feel like in our situations in life, even if we feel like it's like fourth and long, if we feel like it's impossible, it's like, that's where Jesus is like, please, please invite me. Let me come in there. Let me start a prayer trial in your midst. Let's look for greater things through offering up greater love. I'll be saying more about that in the coming days. You start praying about being part of this prayer trial. We're going to sing now. You ready? Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. All four verses. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. I should have told you, it's number three in the book. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what he ordaineth? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with his love he befriend thee. Let's notch up a key. Praise to the Lord, oh, let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly, for we adore him. Let's sing an amen. 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 Guys, we're ready for Tuesday now. It's a day of sowing for a great awakening. I'll see you on the field for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.